You're listening to The Cyber Show. This is New World Disorder, a short collection of poems by Joel Kabakoff, read and set to music by Andy Fonnell. This reading celebrates the life of Joel, who moved his focus on to matters of otherworldly perfection, passing too quickly and too soon in June 2022. He left us an important weapon for the struggle against the chaos and madness of technological domination. A word. Techno-fascism. The title of the book from which these poems are taken.
What do you do with the defective slaves? Do you set them aside? Do you boil them in oil? Do you deceive them as you bleed them all the while? What do you do with the defective slaves? Do you get them to fight one another to save you the bother? Now you lose, by the way, every time. But the play is the game. And it ain't always the same. And isn't being a player better than being the game? What do you do with the defective slaves? Effectively. Cajoling away, away down the river, away till the time, a will and away for the defective slaves. Aggression. Uphill we walked, watched by the birds, who don't name us, lumbering through mud, snapping twigs, an awkward species. We are watched by time that doesn't tell us, doesn't change. We are the hands on the dial. We are escaping sand and alarms at dawn. We are watched by the murdered eyes of innocents who don't know us, don't know their slayers, slaughtered but not conquered, subdued but not controlled. We walk as the skies open to a storm, rivulets, then streams, weeping down the mountain like backward time. Asylum. Some wars don't really end. They are ploughed under like a ruined crop, whose deadly spores ride out on the airwaves, the same waves that carried the voices of those who had ruled all along, even when there appeared to be free speech and lively discourse. The world of perceptions is on the attack from outer space and from the end of a spoon. The real world cowers and stares at the morning paper, forgets what it is eating, partially digesting. The executioners now practice the social graces, right down to their warm smiles, pertinent words, and rapid-fire speech. I am at the table, hoping for a morning, a veteran of last night's assault of dreams, telling me that the refugee problem has spread to me and to the refuge I just attained last Tuesday after a lifetime of searching. Illusion of stasis while the earth sends me to the four corners of the universe. Who is not an asylum seeker? Who is not a castaway? From known coordinates to the unknown. I bend my ink. I bend my ink towards perfect worlds. Scripture appears on stone where faces have never shone. I gather verse in nets of light, liberating song to rescue ruined dreams of a drowning night. Since our histories have twisted all that is to be, I pause before opening books. Pause to read the epic twists that flow along the branches of a tree, the winged throb of honey bee. If you see me stand alone, empty-handed, silent, know that constellations crowd my thoughts and sense my blood. Doomsday was Wednesday, surprising everyone who had planned their Thursdays from dawn to setting sun, who had planted vernal bulbs now and then along the lane, who had smartly smiled at the news forecasting rain. It surprised the village mayor, who had planned to run again. But alas, doomsday was Wednesday. Lest we pretend, doomsday was Wednesday. Wednesday was the end. Eye contact. Ideas were nowhere to be seen in the beginning. The Big Bang came and went without fanfare. Planets clung to their appointed orbits. Comets flirted with galaxies. The grand evolution, stuck in its interminable rut. Words rose from somewhere, words and ideas long after the fact. Whole landscapes of words spewed from the twitching mouth of literacy. Stories of determinacy and destiny poured forth. The supernatural meaning of it all. Stars in lockstep with souls, the white noise of purpose. Eye contact is the one exception. Waiting for the thought, reluctant to attend. Eyes locked when we are about to say nothing. Punctuation. In the Old West, we punctuated our sentences with bullets, leaving a brief pause for desperate pleading. Wars grew out of well-crafted rhetoric, the generals punctuating their orders with bombs and invasions. The president stood before us with a worried expression, promising not to punctuate history with mass murder and occupations. Our children paraded to school in rank and file, prepared to learn proper punctuation, spelling, syntax, the manipulation of verbs and nouns, debate in preparation for condemnation, ending at times in massacre. We taught them the history of slavery, with the lives of runaways sometimes punctuated by lynching. Gentlemen, I give you the semicolon. Do what you will with it. I don't want a history of bullet points. Not for me, my family, unknown mothers, children with their run-on sentences. Period. Success. We failed, and everyone who searched with us failed. Who tired of the trade? Who threw up walls? Centered and stalled themselves. Shut their eyes to open their souls. And learned the tying of shoes by Braille. Who set out in a shell upon the wave to catch a swell, but stopped to shore and ended groping for another grape. Who taught stuttering mouths to issue reverences to minked popes and popped their ears riding home in the plane. Failed with licked thumb, raised finger and seminary tea. And we were all there, whole legions of laureate geniuses, dazzlingly blind, practicing the walk, learning the language, trying to save the world. Ground Zero. I sit here at Ground Zero, formerly known as a bus stop, waiting for the usual big blue that takes us to Ground Zero, formerly known as the ocean, whose former islands lie beneath the waves. We know there are those who tried to contain Ground Zero, way out in an undocumented place in the desert. Just this once, they said, we'll cut loose a tiny glimpse of hell at this tiny pin on a map. But that's when Ground Zero overflowed its container, like a raging river at flood, escaped from a high desert to lowlands, country to city, carried on winds and currents, carried in bombs on the bellies of jets, piled on the decks of great nuclear carriers, followed by robotic eyes as blips on screens, delivering their deadly payloads with every in-breath, with every bowl of ionized corn and beans. Oh, here comes my bus. How shall we dress for nuclear winter? How shall we dress, darling, for nuclear winter? Shall we wear scarves woven from the clasped fingers of a pilgrim's prayer? Shall we choose from 1,000 abandoned overalls strewn on the floor of the bomb factory at the edge of town? Shall we protect our eyes with glamorous goggles gone opaque, refusing the trickle of photons from an obscure sun? Or just stay in our florid pajamas today, tiptoeing from the kitchen to the parlour, worried about a likelihood of burnt toast? How shall we dress, darling? Our boots are rated to below zero, perfect for the new zero of extinction. We are in good company, thunder lizards of the Cretaceous, enfamed in the great halls of science. What goes good with this bulletproof vest? What matches my military helmet? A mustard seed in glass around my neck? Earbuds blaring the hardest of rock? The clock is frozen at 2 minutes to midnight, The faucet in the kitchen drips. I fasten my watch to my wrist, preparing to go about my business, reminiscing of sundials, an inkling of breezes, and the lost epic of spring.
You've been listening to New World Disorder, a collection of poems from the book Techno-Fascism by Joel Kabakoff, read and set to music by Andy Farnell. The first poem is from the publisher's foreword by Chris Milligan. The remaining poems are all by Joel Kabakoff. They are presented here for the Cyber Show with the kind permission of the publisher and Antonia Kabakoff. The full book Techno-Fascism is made up of many short, powerful essay-style chapters in which these poems are embedded. It's well worth a read. It's published by Trinday 2022, ISBN 97816-3424-3902 and distributed by IPG in the United States.